Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? Ah, that's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear at the end of the week. You know, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Ah, so I just need to know, where have you been all week? Yes, 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 yes. We have been having a wonderful time over here on this due time with Pastor Steph. We started off the week with the due time crew as we were shaking the Monday morning blues. And, we were talking about just random relationship questions. You know, sometimes you don't want to just hone in on one thing. There's just so many questions that we wanted to just, you know, ask and talk about. And it was a wonderful conversation. We talked about, you know, some of the most annoying habits other couples have that irritate you the most. Yes. And that was that lubby-dubby and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, they gave some interesting answers. Okay. What else did we talk about? Okay, we talked about, you know, if you were having a bad day, would you want your significant other to leave you alone, spend more time with you, or cheer you up? And surprisingly, it came back a unanimous cheer you up. Yes, I want people to cheer me up. Make me laugh. Make me laugh. What's going on? You know, they said if you were hitting the outdoors, what would you prefer, you know, to do if you was out there and how'd you spend your day? You know, and it was quite interesting. Use that for Brother Al. And I'm going to leave you to go back and find out what the due time crew said so you can get to know them a little bit better. And we wrapped up our Monday with shaking the Monday morning blues. Yes, you hear me? Shaking the Monday morning blues. That's how we wrapped up our Monday, was with the switch tip smile. Yes, Kirk Franklin said it best. Smile. You know, give your face a rest. Smile. Yes, you know, you want to make sure that people see that you're not all frowned up and miserable and hurting. And yeah. Okay. So, you know, we want to make sure that we give everybody an opportunity to see how great Jesus is in your life, okay? Tuesday rolled around. Let's talk about a Tuesday church. Folk Day. And you know what happened? We were talking about church folk fight too. Yes, they do. Oh, how we behave in church and how we just misrepresent God so often. And it gave our pastors an opportunity to talk about some of the fights that they've seen go on in the church house. And oh my, oh my, oh my, boy, did we get a nice little preview of the stuff that goes on in the church. And whoa, baby, yeah, church folk fight too. And you know what, that's not the way we want to represent God, right? We don't want to be representing God fighting in the church, okay? All righty. So, wow, Wednesday rolled around, and we had a wonderful conversation on Wednesday, and we started off with our girlfriend Vivian, and she gave us our socially conscious conversation for the week. We then went to our women of worship, and we had a wonderful conversation as we talked about the questions that daughters need to ask their mom, you know, to just to get to see who they really are. You know, you got to talk to mom about some things that have happened in the past, because you can't realize who you are if you just look at who you are now. No, we got to go back into the archives of our life and ask, you know, questions such as, where did my name come from? Middle name. Not so much the first name, you know, but that middle name always has to have a meaning. It always mostly comes with a meaning. You know, you can think of a lot of first names, but people seem to put a little more thought into that middle name. That middle name always means just something. Okay, you know, they said that the daughter should ask, you know, what did you think I would be when I grew up? Yeah. So, you know, there were some really interesting questions, and we gave the ladies an opportunity to kind of talk about themselves here, and we asked, you know, what was that picture that, you know, someone else held on to that you wish they would have thrown in the garbage? Because every time you see it, you be like, oh no, put that up, put that up. And ooh, I love the answers. Three ladies gave such an interesting answer, and it was hilarious. I was talking later on, you know, the next day about, you know, Pastor Kim's answer. I was in here hollering to myself. So, you know, it gave the ladies an opportunity to kind of reveal some things that were going on with them and what they were thinking and how they were feeling, you know. So it was good. You know, we had our Techie Talk Dwayne come through, and we had our round off the wow day with our Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlene. Oh, we were happy to have her back in the house to finish off our day. You know, Mondays we finish a wonderful switch tip, and on Wednesdays we always finish off with a nice Faith Over Fear. Yes. So when those days are, you know, when we don't get that chance, you know, you feel like a little off. Okay, but we were happy to have her back this week, and that's how we rounded off our Wednesday. Okay, well, yesterday took a turn, Therapeutic Thursday took quite a turn unexpectedly, and boy, was it therapeutic. Yep, we talked about the fake service animals that are everywhere, and I think everybody got an opportunity to just, like, get off their chest what they were thinking and feeling. And man, that's why I said it was therapeutic, because, you know, not only did we get a chance to get that off our chest, but then our behind-the-scenes companion and person who works for It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, our friend Anika, joined the conversation. And man, oh man, she was able to shed some light on this service animal and, you know, some of the, you know, certification and some of the things that they're trying to get, you know, done. And man, it was like therapy. Yeah, that's what it was like. Okay. So we really had a good day. Man, you know, I talked to a few of the Due Time crew members yesterday, and they were like, man, that was a good show. So, you know, you just don't know. You really don't know what God is going to snatch out of the hat, and we're going to talk about. So, you know, stick around. Well, today is what else? Today is Freestyle Friday, and we are about to have a good time because the men have the day, and they have their say. And you know how the men get. You know, they got all of that testosterone going on Fridays, and, you know, we give them a chance to get some stuff out. And, you know, we've been blessed because, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity that we have to, you know, get to hear what the men have to say. And they have been sending us off to a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend. Yes. So I'm looking forward to the same thing happening today. And I hope you are too, okay? Because, you know, we just don't know what's going to happen. We know the topic, but we just never know what we're going to get, okay? So that's how we have rounded off our week. And let's see. Let me give you this number. 516-387-1358. Again, that number is 516-387-1358. And we're going to have a good time today. So I want to make sure I give you an opportunity to, you know, join the conversation. Okay? So make sure you get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you text and tell a friend that It's Due Time when Pastor Steph is on, and make sure you stick around and sit still, okay? Because we don't want you to miss a thing. Yes, you know, listen, if you step away for 1 second, you end up missing so much. So we don't want you to have to worry about, you know, what you're missing. Okay? All righty. So, thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope you've been joining me all week. And now you get an opportunity to get sent off to a weekend that's going to be a wonderful one. I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful one after we, you know, talk to the men and let the men do what they do. Okay? Well, we'll be right back.
In 2018, over 300,000 lives were lost to cervical cancer, and the problem could soon be much worse. But right now, we can come together to eliminate this cancer for good. If by 2030, we can have 90% of girls vaccinated, 70% of women screened for early signs of cancer, and 90% of patients receiving treatment, in the coming years, we can save millions of women's lives.
Well, good morning, and good morning to you again. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph, and it is Freestyle Friday, okay? And welcome to you, and so happy to have you joining me today. And I always like to say I couldn't do it without you, okay? So let's see what we're going to talk about today that's in the news. Okay, well, you know what? We have the weekend coming up, and God spares. A lot of times people are doing their weekend laundry. Yes. And I know everybody says, I hate doing laundry. Well, I pulled up, get those pens and papers out, because I think you're going to want to take some notes here. I have some, you know, common laundry mistakes, they say, that could actually be damaging your clothes. Oh, so, you know, we don't want to do that. We spend our money for our clothing. We don't want to damage them, right? Okay, so you got those pens and papers out? All righty. They say you use too much laundry detergent. Wow. How many of us do that? You know, unless those clothes are sludging around in a bunch of soap suds, we're not happy. We don't think that the clothes are clean unless we see a whole bunch of soap suds. Well, they say adding too much detergent can create extra suds that don't get completely rinsed out in the rinse cycle. Excuse me. And they say that leaves behind a sticky residue that attracts more dirt, dust, and bacteria. Okay? They say, so pay close attention to the fill line as you measure detergent into the cup and use only the amount recommended for the size of your laundry load. Okay? All righty. That's going to be a little difficult. Okay? Yeah, because if we're looking for suds, that laundry, that cup, that line, may not be enough. Okay? They say you don't sort your laundry by material. Now, I know y'all need to write that one down, because normally we sort the laundry by color, okay? You know, and that's the first thing they say. You know, you always sort light color, dark color, you know, whites. And they say you should separate heavier items, such as jeans and sweaters, from lightweight blouses, dress shirts, to prevent abrasion and damage to the more delicate fabrics. So therefore, you should have a delicate cycle. Yeah, okay. They say you always wash towels, bedding, and other bulky items separate from your clothes. Wow. Grouping items by fabric also helps your laundry dry evenly, as heavy items take longer to dry. Well, actually, that's what I do. I actually do that. Sometimes I have like four. I anticipate having four dryers. Yes. So I try to go when there's not a lot of people, because I need a dryer for my sheets and then underclothes, and then I need and other thin items, and then I have a dryer for the clothes that I'm going to not dry thoroughly. You know, I just like to get that excess water out the clothes, and I'm not drying it, so that has its own dryer. And then I have one for heavy items, you know, stuff or junk stuff that I'm going to thoroughly dry. And then I have the towels, and jeans, like real heavy stuff together. So I do follow that one, okay? They say to avoid, now listen to this one. This is under the same sorting of your laundry. To avoid getting sweater fuzz on your dress pants, you can also sort laundry by items that shed lint and those that attract it. Okay. All righty. At least that you ain't got those stupid fur balls on your clothes. I can't stand those stupid things. Well, you know that there's a device that gets rid of the fur balls, right? Yes, and it really doesn't cost a lot of money. It costs like, I think it's $5, $6 that you get it from Amazon, and you can, it makes your clothes look like it's brand new. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next thing, you don't zip up garments before washing. So make sure you zip up your garments before washing them. These are all the things that we're doing wrong in the laundry, okay? They say zippers have jagged teeth and can snag other fabrics in your wash cycle. So to prevent the damage to your other garments, zip up all your clothes. And they say you should also fasten clasps on bras and other items to avoid snags, ladies. Yeah, you ever took your stuff out the laundry, out the washing machine, and everything is caught on the bra? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's another one. Oh, they say one mistake you might be making is you button shirts before washing them. Wow, okay, I never saw anybody do that before, but I guess they've taken their survey. They say, unlike zippered items, button-down shirts should be left unbuttoned when you're laundrying them. And they say this helps guard against tears in the buttonholes and protects the button threads from being pulled and loosened in the wash. And don't forget to fasten buttons on shirt sleeves or collars as well. Okay, unfasten those buttons on the shirt sleeves. And, you know, sometimes you have those buttons on the tip of the collar. Okay, so don't forget. All right? Ah, they say you close your front loader door after a wash cycle. This is what we're doing wrong now. Mistakes that we're making. They say front-loading washing machines are notorious for trapping moisture and bacteria around the door, which can lead to mold and unpleasant smells. Okay? So they say in order to keep your washer free from bacteria and odors, leave the door open after each wash cycle to allow the area to dry out. And you can close it again after a few hours, you know, when it's dry, okay? Or they say when that rubber piece is completely dry, okay? Mistakes, everybody, mistakes we're making, okay? Oh, okay. They say a mistake that you could be making is you forget to clean out the dryer lint. Okay, they say that the lint buildup in the dryer can pose a serious fire hazard. So after each laundry load, remove the lint screen or filter or use a brush to clean off as much lint as possible. And they say it's also important to regularly clean the cavity that holds your lint filter. Okay, and they say because that in itself can hold additional lint and blocks the airflow. And, of course, what does that mean? Your clothes don't dry properly. Okay, and they say also check your dryer duct annually to ensure it's not clogged. Okay, so now I do see the people in the laundromat. You know, you ever see them go down each dryer and they, ooh, all that lint and dust that they get off that filter thing is crazy. All right, and the last thing they have one of the mistakes you could be making is they say you don't regularly clean your washing machine. Okay? They say your washer cleans your clothes and linens, but the machine itself needs to be washed occasionally too. Grime and dirty laundry, detergent residue, hard water deposits, and mold and mildew can build up over time. Okay, so here's what they say to do. To clean your washing machine, they say use the self-clean cycle or run an empty hot water cycle with vinegar instead of detergent. Man, vinegar is a crazy, I don't know who invented vinegar, but man, wherever vinegar came from, I'm going to find some information, because the stuff I see on vinegar is crazy. But they say fill up and do a hot water cycle with vinegar. And they say be sure to scrub around the lid and under that rubber piece, they call it a rubber gasket, which can harbor moisture and bacteria and result in musty smelling laundry. Okay, so the seven mistakes that we could be making: you use too much laundry detergent, you don't sort your laundry not by color but by material, and that's in the washer and the dryer. They say you don't zip up garments before washing, you button shirts before washing, you close your front loader door after the wash cycle, so remember, leave it open, please. And they say you forget to clean out the dryer lint. And lastly, you don't regularly clean your washing machine. Okay. So now you know how to do your laundry better. Okay. All righty. Well, I got a news story for you before we get going with our men. I tell you, it's like a war on kids. It's like a war on children. You can't pick up the news at any given moment and not find something going on with our children. Okay? They say a Houston mother is charged with capital murder in the death of her 6-year-old child. They say Miss Ashley Marks, 25, is accused of poisoning her son, her 6-year-old son, with meth, cocaine, and other drugs, leading to his death last year, June. Okay? And they say that she's accused of giving her son toxic amounts of antihistamines in allergy medicines, cough medicines, and all that other stuff that I named a minute ago. Okay? They say little one, Jason, had just completed the first grade. He had excellent report card marks, and he looked forward to the second grade before he died. Now, here's what happened. They said that she went over to their grandfather's house, and she gave, you know, him, and she tried to give the younger sister, and this is how she got access to them, because they had been given to the grandfather because they had TB. Well, she had TB, one of the two. And what happened was when she went supposedly for a visit is when she gave the little one, the little boy, but the little girl refused the medicine. Now, I don't know why, but she refused the medicine. Says the grandfather said he consistently and repeatedly contacted the mother over a 2-day period, telling her that, you know, trying to tell her that the boy was ill. He was hallucinating and unable to sleep. And he actually did contact her, but neither one of them sought medical attention as the child's condition worsened. Now, I don't know why you wouldn't. Children are in your care, and you would not take the children, you know, or the child to get medical attention. I'm not calling you, okay? It's yeah, they were the ones diagnosed with TB in April of 2000. That's what happened. And in the care, they were left in his care, and as he noticed the children got ill, he got ill, he kept trying to notify the mother, finally got in touch with her, I'm sorry. She never came over, and he never took the kid to the emergency room. I tell you. And thus, the little six-year-old is no longer with us. I tell you, it, like I said, it's like a war, a serious war on our children. And it's why? Okay, so let me tell you why she did it. Are you ready? Okay. Let me make sure I got it right. Okay, dang, I just missed it. I just had it. I skipped over it so that I could, oh, here we go. They said that she killed him to collect on a life insurance policy or a group of life insurance policies that totaled $100,000. Who takes out a $100,000 life insurance on a child or children? Oh, right there, that should have raised a flag. That's why she was trying to kill both kids. Because together, all the insurance policies for all the children, both children, would have been $100,000. And that was her way of getting it. And I don't know why. Let me tell you something. You're so desperate that you don't think about the fact that there's going to be an autopsy. Really? That don't even come to your head? Especially when it comes to a child. They're going to definitely do an autopsy. Because things, especially when it appears to be foul play, they're not leaving it up to the parent to request an autopsy. This is stuff that they automatically do. Now, here the child has already switched hands from mom to grandpa. And do you really think if that child showed up dead or in an emergency room and, you know, they're looking at, you know what is making this child ill, that they're not going to do the research? You couldn't be that desperate for money that you don't even think that. I mean, come on. Now, we already know you're not thinking logically. But come on now. Come on, people. Oh, I can't. This is just amazing. It's amazing. Oh, my goodness gracious. So we have to be very careful over, you know, what goes on, and we don't lose our minds with this money issue. So you were going to kill your kids and have a happy good time spending $100,000, and it wouldn't have bothered you at all. And if it did, what difference would it make? They're dead now. So she has been held without bond. You know. So I don't know. What do you think? Give me a call, 347. Well, that's the text number, 347-285-7777. Text us. Let us know what you're thinking. Give us a call, 516-387-1358. What are you thinking is going on, you know, in these people's heads? You know, what are you feeling? You know, do you think, like I'm thinking, like there's just a war on children? I don't know. A war on children. Well, I have one last story for you today. Oh, they say a 7-year-old boy here in New York has been charged with rape. Oh, my gosh. So, this is the war on children. Okay. They say that this boy was charged with third-degree rape in March. Okay. And it was reported on Thanksgiving. And it's taken a bit of time, you know, so I tell you, from Thanksgiving till March, okay, and he's being charged as a juvenile delinquent, and they're not giving much details, okay, but they're up, because they're saying that he's only 7 years old. So that's pretty severe to charge a 7-year-old with rape. And they're saying that in the state of New York, children age 7 and older can be arrested and prosecuted as juvenile delinquents. So whatever he did, they're taking it as rape. They're taking it as rape, and they're not, of course, they're not, you know, flushing out the details. But again, something had to have happened that did not look like anything else, and they're going with that. Okay, they didn't give any names, of course, because, you know, that's right. No, they didn't give any names because it's a child. So the war on children is not just from children. I mean, adults. It's children as well. And we know children can be real mean. And this is what we're up against here. So let's talk to our men. And we're going to say good morning to our brother, Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Chop, chickity, chop, chop, chickity, chop, chop of the morning. Good morning, Pastor Steph.
Good morning, Brother Al. So, okay. So we're going to talk about the lighter stuff first, as always. The laundry mistakes. What are you doing based on that list?
Wow, you know, that actually was a great list. And as much as I hate doing laundry, I do it because I have to. I was doing a lot of what they were saying. I do separate my clothes, especially like my jeans and towels. I separate from my shirts and my shorts and underclothes. One of the things I do, I don't know why, but I love to see a lot of suds. So I pile it in, soap powders and stuff. Because I like to see with my machine going, I like to see all that suds. I'm like, oh, yeah, now it's getting clean. You know, when I don't see no suds,
right.
I'm like, man, I ain't put enough. You know, so that was one thing I did. One thing I was doing, too, because I thought about that with cleaning the washing machine. But what I would do, I would get a bucket of warm water and pour a pint in it. And I would take a cloth, go in there, squeeze it out, and I would wipe it down. So I was doing that, but I would do that once in a while. I guess I would do that a little more now, depending on how much I wash. Let me see, what else was it? I would zip up my zipper. No, yeah, I'm going on with you said. I got you. Come on now. I ain't that old yet. I still got you. I do zip up my jeans and stuff. I zip up the jeans. I never did the button. I always left it unbuttoned. I never understood that when people did that. I'm like, why are you buttoning? You know, to me, it's like it's not getting clean. You got to stop buttoning up. But
okay,
I zipped up the pants.
Okay.
I would zip up the pants. So I actually did pretty good this time with that list. So it wasn't too much.
Okay.
But
okay,
the suds,
okay,
I sud
okay.
it up, though. I suds it up.
And I think most of us do. You see everybody kind of stepping back, looking in the washing machine, or you looking down in the washing machine like, oh, okay, okay, okay. It's got all this suds in it. Okay, okay, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we're talking about this story with our children. Mom killing the kid, trying to kill both children so she can get this $100,000 life insurance. It doesn't seem odd to you that you'd have $100,000 for a child or children?
Man, not odd at all, man. Man, the evilness. Like, wow, I'm listening to the story. You know I love the kids. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, what is wrong with these people? And it's just like what you said, there's a war on our children. You know, the enemy figure, you know, they already old. If I get rid of the children, then there's nothing for the future to look towards. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just, oh, my God, man, it's just sicking me, man. Like, you did this to get money. Like you said, it's the funny thing, like, they mind so set in that they don't think about the other things, like they're not going to take an autopsy, and you know, and you're not going to go to jail for it. So, you know, that evil, that money got their mind so clouded, they won't even think about mm-hmm. that. You ain't going to be able to spend the money anyway, nope. And you ain't going
right.
to get it.
Right. Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
And
my gosh.
After you put all those life insurance policies together, they're going to start questioning your motive from the first, in the beginning. Who takes out $100,000 on children? That doesn't even make any sense. So I tell you.
And then what you going to do, right? She going to ride to the funeral in the Mercedes Benz. They're going to say, hold up, where'd you get that from? You know? This is what I'm saying. I could not be a judge when it comes to our elders and our children, because the sentence, you know what I would do to her? I'm going to tell you what I would do to her. I know you're going to laugh, but I'm going to tell you exactly what I would do to her. I know we ain't giving you life in prison, none of that stuff. That's too good for you. I'm going to cut her eyelids off and give her sleeping pills.
You know
what? I'm going to cut her eyelids off and give her sleeping pills.
You know what? I can't. You are just something
I'm
else.
Just saying.
I don't know. I do not know, Brother Al. Now, let me ask you this. The last story we had, you're sick. You're sick, Brother Al. You're sick. The last story we had, you know, we don't know the details, but they're charging a 7-year-old as a juvenile delinquent when they charge them with things like the rape. Do you think, you know, do you think charging them as a juvenile delinquent is incorrect if they have done the crime?
Man, 7 years old. I'm on the fence with that because something has to be done. Because let me tell you, when we work with these kids, people think these kids are too young. I've seen some of these little kids, man, say some stuff out of their mouth and know some things that's unimaginable. So I think they should really get him help. I don't think the jail would help him at a 7-year-old. I think that they really, really should get him some serious, serious help, some serious counseling, some serious help. I believe there should be some punishment involved, because then you got to think of the little young lady that he did that to, because she got to get some help. But mm-hmm. it should be some serious help in there, definitely some serious help involved.
All righty. Well, thank you, Brother Al, for indulging
me. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All righty. So let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and Son Jesus Christ.
You know what?
Giving honor to God, who is ahead of my life, to Pastor Steph, Stephanie Griffin, to my co-laborers, Deacon Al Bynum, and to our minister, Adrian Jerome Jackson. We thank God for you. Good morning.
You know, You know what? Did you take time away from getting online to think of all of this here? Is that what happened?
No, I just felt compelled to give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And since y'all was here, you know, I gave y'all some honor too.
You know what? Well, thank you for being so thoughtful today. What would we do without your thoughtfulness? Life would not be the same. Well, good morning, and how are you today?
I am here in the land of the living. Let's say that. I'm doing well, thank you. Hey, wait. Let me say this. Any day the Lord can tap me on my shoulder and tell me to wake up, I know I'm doing all right.
I see he is still in mode. He's in stealing mode this morning.
he had to do it. He had to do that because, you know, you can't just target one and not the other. Okay?
Yiggity-yang, yiggity-yang-yang.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, good morning. Thank you. Well, we can't go over the other stuff with you because you missed everything, but you gave us your welcome and your good morning. So, here we go. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for joining us today.
All righty. Let's say good morning to our Minister AJ. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Good.
Oh my goodness gracious. Well, you're doing well over there this morning. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I gotta ask you, you know, we went over some common laundry mistakes. Which ones have you made?
Well, you know, I'm definitely the soap man. I don't measure nothing. I've been having like four different detergents up in there, but these clothes gotta smell good with a little Fabuloso, with a little Downy or Suavitel. So I definitely probably be having a little residue left over from all the stuff I put in there. But absolutely, in Jesus' name.
Okay,
amen.
What else?
That's all I could really, you know, like I do sort it, you know, by heavy and light. So I don't know. I mean, the only thing I can remember is, you know, just using too much detergent. Everything else, I think, you know, I'm good on.
Okay.
I do sort my heavy and light, stuff like that, you know, going into the dryer.
Okay. All right. Now, we have this case of the mom killing her son, wanting to kill the daughter as well. And, $100,000 life insurance policy. Does that raise a flag to you?
It definitely does, because normally when you put insurance on the kids, even the insurance agent will tell you, you know, you don't have to put that much. They don't, sometimes I won't say allow you, but they always try to steer you away from putting more than a certain amount. You know, they'll tell you you can always add, but usually, especially if you put policy on small kids, or your young kids, yeah, they definitely don't usually, you know, put a whole lot of money, you know, on a kid. I remember doing my kids' policies, and they were like, nah, just get like $10,000 or whatever it was, $15,000. It was nothing crazy. But, yeah, even the agents stay away from big policies.
Right, because nobody's thinking on that level. So that's where my head went. You know, what kind of insurance policies are we having with these brokers that they wouldn't, you know, think it weird and steer you away from, that type of decision. Okay. Now, I want to ask you about this case with the child, 7, who is being accused of rape, and now they want to charge him as a juvenile delinquent. What's your thought?
I think he needs help. Like Brother Al said, I don't think he should be tried as a juvenile, you know, delinquent or whatever, because he's 7 years old. And I mean, he had to have seen this behavior somewhere. But I don't think at 7, you're really, you know what I mean? You really honestly know what rape is. Not too many people talk to a 7-year-old about rape. You know, I mean, you may, you know, dance around a little bit, but to have the full understanding of what it is, no. But, you know, the parents maybe, or guardians probably should be held reliable, because he has to be seeing this type of behavior somewhere. You don't just wake up and, you know what I'm saying, and go ballistic like that. So I think the parents or the guardians in this case should be held liable for this.
Okay. Well, I'm going to shift gear on you gentlemen today, contrary to what I initially posted we would talk about, because I want to talk about this a little bit. I want to talk about this, and you're men. So, you know, we know that these young people need help when they're, you know, behaving in this manner. But I want to talk about, you know, the juvenile crimes that you know, that get committed, and which are common, and how you think these crimes done by these children, that they're calling them children, should be handled. Okay? So, we're talking about vandalism and graffiti charges. What do you think, Pastor KL? How do you think, what do you think they're trying to do? Where could this possibly be coming from? And I want you all to focus in on whatever I'm talking about. Please not venture off with the possibility of touching on something else. Let's stay within the vein of what I'm asking. The vandalism and graffiti. What do you think could be going on with them? And how do you think the court system needs to handle that particular behavior? Pastor KL.
Well, in my day, you know, we talking about back there with Flintstone, you know, graffiti was a way of art, you know, a way of expressing yourself. I mean, yeah, it was vandalizing, but the people who did it, the children who did it, the young folks who did it didn't look at it that way. You know, they would call it tagging. They would tag their name or tag whatever they were known for, you know, on the train or on the building. So, yeah, it was vandalizing, but the children of those days didn't look at it that way. They were expressing their art form. How should we as a society deal with it? It's vandalizing. I mean, whatever the penalty for vandalism is, I think they should go for it. However, you know, if they got to spend years and years and years in jail, I don't think that is, you know, was worth it. I mean, maybe they would have to, their punishment was that they would have to clean it off, and maybe they would have to have a fine. You know, that's what I think it is. I don't think it is. You know, killing anybody or stuff like that. You know, yeah, crime is a crime. I do understand. But, you know, again, back in my days, it wasn't to really hurt a business or hurt anybody. You know, a lot of times, again, they did it on the trains or they did it on the side of the building. They didn't necessarily do it on your window or on your car. So, you know, I don't think it's worth jail time, if I answered your question.
Okay, no, you did. As to make this a little more clearer for Brother Al, vandalism is tagging or graffiti. drawing on public restroom walls, and keying a car and cutting auto tires. That's what they're considering vandalism. Okay? So what do you think of these particular crimes? And how do you think the justice system should handle it? Brother Al.
So you're trying to say I don't know what vandalism means? This is what you're saying? You pick me out of the bunch, and you target me. Then you just said it. You target me.
No, actually, I pulled up something else, and it actually is breaking down how the court system is. They're merging these things, and I said, well, since I asked you all to be specific, I would give you that aid and help you understand what the court system, you know, how they're categorizing these things, and, you know, maybe to make it a little clearer for you.
You cleared that up real nice, boy. You cleaned it nice. But to answer your question on that, I mean, it's a crime, period. You know, I think sometimes with these kids, we try to, it ain't do this, it ain't do that. It's a crime. And a lot of people wouldn't understand unless you own the building and somebody tag your building. You're like, really? You know what I mean? But as far as the jail time, I don't think they should get a whole bunch of time for that. I do believe that you know what? You tag this, you keyed somebody's stuff, you vandalized somebody's stuff. You're going to do 30 days in jail, and then you're going to come out, and we're going to give you the slowest way to clean this off this train or this building, and you're going to clean every day until you clean every bit of it off. And if you decide not to clean it off, then you're going back to jail. I think they should give a stiff penalty to them. Okay, you want to graffiti something? Graffiti your sneakers. Graffiti your shirt. Don't go out and graffiti somebody's building because you want people to know who you are. I think that's a lame excuse to vandalize somebody's property. So, yeah, you're going to go to jail for 30 days, and you're going to clean all this off. Every day you out here cleaning. After school, on the weekends, you're going to clean until it comes off. And if you don't clean it off, you're going to do some serious time.
Okay. Minister AJ, what do you think of this vandalism? And how do you think the courts should handle this for these juvenile delinquents?
Well, since Brother Al took my answer, you know.
We can share it, brother.
Brother Al took my answer. yeah, I agree. Definitely not so much with the, you know, pushing the jail time, but definitely cleaning off the building. Definitely, I'll do a combination of both of their answers. And they should be fine, because if you slashing people's tires, that's going to cost money. And you should have to pay the amount of what it's going to cost to get, you know, to get that car, you know, the auto body work done, and with a little fee on top. You get what I'm saying? Because nobody just, even if they put a boot on your car, you got to pay a fee for that boot by itself. So a little $250 fee on top of the cost for the repairs. And that, I think that'll get a lot of people to stop doing that, you know. And it's the same thing with your property. Nobody wants to go to the bathroom and see Jose Guzman was here. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to see that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Trey was here. Barquita was here. You should have to just complain. And paint it yourself. And if you can't do it, hire somebody professional, and all of that money is coming out of your pocket, you know? And that's what it should be, because, you know, you're tagging my building, and this, you know, maybe I don't want those words on my building, you know? And the worst part about it is I remember when they had respect for the churches. Now they do it on churches. So, yeah, I don't want to come to worship and see all these people who was here that wasn't here, and that didn't pay tax. And Jesus said, amen.
Oh, my goodness. He said who was here, but who wasn't here. I can't. Only you think the way you think. All right, gentlemen, we're moving to what they consider to be theft and larceny, shoplifting, stealing a bicycle, stealing from backpacks and lockers. Okay, that's how they're categorizing theft and larceny. Brother Al, you know, what do you think of this crime? And how do you think, you know, juvenile delinquents should have to pay for this crime?
Well, yeah, shoplifting and I think they should make, okay, like if the kid steal from the store, I think he should have to work in that store and work it off. Oh, you're going to mop, you're going to clean, you're going to take out garbage. That's how you're going to pay this off. Because see what happened is, what these kids don't understand is that you find children, because I'm hearing the word fine. You find children. Where are they going to get the money to pay it from? You know what I'm saying? So you can find them all you want. They ain't got no job, and the parents might not have it either. So now that gets thrown out the window, and it gets lost in the system. So you know what? No, okay, you stole from the store, you're caught. Okay, the reason I said jail, because that's the scam. If you don't do this, you're going to jail, period. So you know what? You're going to come in the store. How much you stole, or you stole $100 or how much ever, you're going to work that off. You're going to mop floors. You're going to take out garbage, and that's what you're going to do free of charge until you pay off what you got. Because people don't understand, I think it's over $1,000 grand larceny. Now you're talking prison. They don't even do nothing else. That's straight prison.
Okay. Come on, Minister AJ. We're talking about theft / larceny now. We didn't kind of got a little worse than graffiti and tagging. What do you think? Oh, wait, hold on. So, Brother Al, you're saying no, like, I don't want to call it jail if they're juvenile delinquents, but no time served. Just
no,
the,
no
the working
served.
Working it off.
Yeah, work them hard. I mean, work them hard.
Okay, all righty. All right, thank you. Just wanted to make sure. Okay, Minister AJ, what you got for us?
Thanks again, Brother Al, for stealing my answer again. I'm going a little bit further. I don't think, like, even if it's like a situation with a bike, yes, you should work it off, you know, and whatever funds you make should go towards that. But, you know, you should also go through the process. You know, put you in a bike shop, and you have to put a bike together from beginning to the end. You know, now I'm sounding like Shanti. You know, for a month at a time. And also be explained to you that the next time you will get some type of time. Because a lot of times just working it off, it may not be, sorry, that's my other phone giving me the Bible verse of the day. Sorry. There you go. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. That Bible verse is going to keep one kid, you know, per minute out of jail in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes.
Oh, my God.
And you should have to go through the process. Because if you have to put a bike together from beginning to the end and not get paid for it, you're going to think twice about stealing a bike. You'll rather work for it or whatever. And if that was the part of the punishment, you're not going to want to do that. But also, you might have to go into a scared straight program. You might have to go into whatever. And I think that should also be a part of it because, you know, think about poor Billy who gets his bike stolen, who's distraught now, and his father won't buy him another bike. Got to think about that. So pain and suffering. You know, you should be facing a little time, too. Give you a warning around next time. You know, let your freedom be threatened.
Okay. Pastor KL, we're talking theft and larceny now. We're up in the ante.
Yeah, I'm going totally different because, you know, I am in the loss prevention world, and I see people shoplift every day. For me, you're going straight to jail. If I catch you, you're going straight to jail. We're not talking about Cookie was only 15. Okay, well, we need to go to 15-year-old jail. you're just going to jail. We're not working it off. Listen, if you're stealing from my store, the last thing I want you to do is work in my store. Because now I have to be in every part of the store you're in so that you don't steal again. Listen, when someone comes and shoplifts, they shoplift in your store because they're comfortable in doing that. You know, they're opportunists. This is their daily job. This is what they punch in for every day. They wake up, they go to the store, and what they call it is boost it. And then they take your stuff and sell it on the street. So that means you have to be professional at it. You have to be comfortable in doing it. Why would I want a comfortable, professional thief to work in my store? No, you need to go straight to jail.
Wow. Did we get a different of opinion on that one? Wow. Okay. Well, here's another. Did somebody say something?
I said preach, Pastor.
Oh, wow. Alcohol offenses, they say underage purchase or possession, underage consumption of alcohol, providing alcohol to underage persons, or possessing an open container in public or a car. Now, remember now, these are juvenile offenses. So this for this particular one, it sounds quite adult-ish, but we're talking strictly juvenile delinquency. What are your thoughts, and how do you handle that, Minister AJ?
Juvenile delinquents with alcohol? Oh, yeah, that sounds like some serious community service, hours of it, cleaning up garbage, all that. Because first of all, you shouldn't even be trying to buy alcohol at an early, before it's time, you know, before you're 21. And the fact that you're drinking it, nah. Yeah, I don't necessarily believe jail time, but again, that should be on the table. If you continue by the third offense, yeah, you need to do some time, because that time may save your life down the line. You know, do you want to put me in a slammer, or do you want me to eventually get behind the wheel of a car intoxicated? So I'm going with hours of community service, you know, because I've never been a drinker, but I believe when you consume alcohol, eventually you start sweating, you get hot. So you want to sweat, we'll put you out and let you clean up all the wrappers off a bunch of streets and highways and let you sweat, you know. Put you on some desert clothes, something really hot, and then go ahead and clean, you know. And then maybe that'll slow you down from wanting to be hot.
All righty. Ah, Pastor KL, you're talking about alcohol now.
I'm talking about hours of community service. Hours of jail time. And you're going to have a buddy system. Because whoever sold you the alcohol, knowing that you was a minor, you have to go to jail. Now, again, because this is the business that I'm in, it's a $3,500 fine for me to sell alcohol or cigarettes to a minor. So if I do it knowingly, and I got to check ID. Not only do we have to check ID, we have to scan your ID. And your ID dictates to my system whether you're old enough or not. So if I willingly scan your ID, knowing that you're not old enough, then me and you going together. We're going to play spades. We're going to play tonk. We're going to play whatever you want to play, but we're going to play it in jail together. So if that doesn't stop, listen, there's no alcohol in jail. You're going to get milk and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's going to be cold, okay? So if that don't deter you from drinking the Bud Light, we're going to have Milk Light. That's what we're going to have, Milk Light in jail. So that's mine. This is the wrong topic for me here. I live with this stuff every day.
Okay. All right, well, it might be the right topic. Okay. Might let you get some stuff off your chest. Come on, Brother Al. What are we talking about here? Alcohol, consumption, purchase, sell. What?
First of all, Pastor Kale need a hug. I hear him getting hyperventilating over there. He need a hug. Send a hug, Pastor Kale. Send a hug. You know, I think it should be definitely some counseling involved. You know, if this child has a problem, jail is not going to solve it, and they're not going to get them no counseling in jail. There should definitely be some consequences, and it's so funny that you talked about that because I had an incident like that with some my basketball players, two 13-year-old and a 14-year-old, and actually he didn't buy the alcohol. The alcohol, he bought a bottle of his father's alcohol from home, and he brought it to school, and him and two of my players was in the bathroom, and he drank it and got them to drink it as well. And when I came to school, I found out about it. I'm like, really? So they got in trouble. You know, they basically slapped them on the hand at school. Oh, we're going to call your parents and blah, blah, blah. Me, I went to a different level. Let's go in the gym. And since you want to drink, we're going to run. And when I tell you, Pastor Steph, I ran these kids so bad. One of the kids, Coach, I'm going to throw up. I said, throw up, continue running, and then you're going to clean up the throw up. Since you want to drink, this is what we're going to do. And one of the proud things I'm going to say, one of the kids is a teacher now. And he still remembered that. And he's like, Coach, I never touched any more alcohol after that. And I was like, good. But, you know, we have to figure out certain ways instead of just jail. Because when you put them in jail, they're not going to get no help. You just throw them in jail for whatever reason. And if he's a minor, he's going to a little juvie detention center. And he's going to be there for a little bit. Then he's going to come home and do the same thing. So it has to be some counseling somewhere in there involved on finding out why did you want to drink, why did you get it, because they don't always buy it. They get it from somebody else, or they get somebody to buy it from them. And the people who bought it for them, they should go down too.
Okay. Well, it's interesting that you said that, because as I look back over the offenses, providing alcohol to underage persons is a crime. So if, like you said, in your instance where that person was underage and now you're providing it to another underage individual, that's a crime. And I happen to love that,
mm-hmm.
because now you're being held accountable for everything. All righty,
yes,
we're moving on. Disorderly conduct. Okay, under disorderly conduct, fighting in public places, cursing at a teacher, flashing, mooning, and indecent exposure. Come on, Pastor KL, what are we talking about here?
Well, some of that stuff is a little harsh. I mean, I've cussed out many teachers. You know, that means I'd have been in jail for life. I mean, I just would have been in jail for life. I mean, you know, I mean, who among us have not cussed out at least one teacher? You know what I mean?
Me?
Me,
I haven't.
God bless you, God. God bless you. Have y'all? God bless you. God bless you. You must have been a Catholic school. But, you know.
No.
I mean,
no, I had
those
the Bronx
public school
system. I had the Bronx public school system.
Yeah, I don't think that's a big one. I mean, fighting in the street, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. I mean. Yeah, I think that once they break it up, you know, and you find your tooth, you need to go to jail. You know, I mean, stuff like that, you know, in this context, if you're mooning somebody or getting naked, some folks don't need to get naked in the house, let alone be outside. Yeah, you should go to jail behind stuff like that. You know, I heard Brother Al said, you know, jail doesn't do it, you know, it doesn't solve the problem. Well, let me tell you something. I went to jail for not having a driver's license. Not having a driver's license. And I promise you, when I got out of jail, I took the test, I took the permit, I was not going back to jail. So, I mean, it did something for me. There's no way you can go to jail and say, oh, this ain't nothing for me, this ain't solving nothing. Then you got bigger problems than we all think. You know, if jail is a comfortable place for you, if somebody's dictating your every move to you, if somebody's telling you when you can eat, what you can eat, and how you can eat it to you, if that doesn't change your perspective of what you've just done to get in there, then you got a bigger problem.
Okay. Boy, you can always tell with the men when you've hit a sore spot. The ladies, they just bust out crying. You got tears and you're passing out Kleenex. With the men, it's just so different.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Brother Al. You know, Pastor KL says you shouldn't go to jail for cussing out a teacher, but you definitely need to be put in jail for fighting in a public place, flashing, mooning, and indecent exposure. What say you?
Okay, just real quick to answer Pastor KL on the jail situation. I understand exactly what you're saying, but it's a different when you have an addiction. When you have an addiction and go to jail, that's something totally different because they're addicted to what they're doing as far as drugs or alcohol. So I wanted to clear that real quick. It's not okay to curse out a teacher.
When you go to jail with an addiction, you can no longer smoke. You can no longer drink. You can no longer do that. So that has to curb your appetite because you can no longer do it in jail.
Yeah, but when you get out,
that
you
is not the truth. No, that is not the truth.
Now bring it down, Pastor Steph. Bring it down.
No. Matter of fact, it has been known and proven that it is easier to get it in jail than it is to get it on the street.
On the street.
Unfortunately,
there you go.
What you're saying, Pastor KL, should be the case that once you are locked up, you don't have access to this stuff. But by golly, they do have access to it inside. I've read articles and I've spoken to people where they were like, the stuff that goes on in jail, man, because those COs are just as crooked as the day is long, and they are responsible for a lot of that trafficking of those drugs and all of that kind of stuff into the prison house. So, yeah, unfortunately, you can get it. You know, it would be nice for us to believe that, you know, they don't have access. But, oh, boy, they do. They do.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And corrected.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Thank you, Big
Very
Bun.
Sad, very sad.
Yes.
But unfortunately, it is true.
Yes.
Okay, Brother Al. So
as I was saying,
we're talking about disorderly conduct.
Right. I'm definitely going to disagree with Pastor KL about the cursing out the teachers. See, again, people forget that they are human. That's somebody mother, father. That's somebody brother. That's somebody child. You know, it is not okay to curse out a teacher. And there should be consequences for that, heavy consequences. And I'm not going to go as far as jail, but there should be some type of consequences that come with that. And we need to come up with something because these kids are able to just do what they want to teachers, hit teachers, you know, talk about teachers. And the teachers are the one that get in trouble, and the kids just go on about their business. So basically you're telling the kids, oh, it's okay to treat the teacher like that. It's okay to hit a teacher. And there was a big incident like that last year where the lady lost her job in the school, and she, you know, a substitute teacher, she talking to the children, and one of the girls slapped her in her face. I mean, slapped the mess out of her for nothing. So she lost it, and she beat the little girl up. Now, you're talking about a 16-year-old girl. She, you know, she handled her business with the little girl. Man, when I tell you they dragged this teacher through the river, oh, she ain't had no proper training. Oh, she shouldn't have put her hand on a child. She lost her job, lost her pension, everything. But not one time did they say this girl was wrong for slapping this teacher. And you're talking about a 16-year-old girl. So it is not okay to put your hand or curse out a teacher. And like I said, we just have to come up with some community service. We got to come up with some hard things besides jail that going to get these kids to say, you know what, I ain't doing that no more. And if it come down to the jail point, if they're not doing the community service or doing things like that, you know what, if you don't do these things, then you will spend a time in jail. So which one you want to do? You want to do this community service outside or you want to do this community service inside?
Okay. Minister AJ, disorderly conduct. How are we handling juvenile delinquents in this area? Are you talking to the mute button? Should we call you a juvenile delinquent?
Sorry, a juvenile delinquent had my line tapped. I had to untap my line. Sorry.
What do you think?
I first want to say,
and what do you think the is?
Disorderly conduct. Yeah, I think you want to Well, first of all, let me say this. I think as Christians, we've all on this line have been to different types of jail, because there are some people who go back to jail because they're addicted to the lunch. You know, the type of jail that I've been in, they're addicted to the lunch. And there were some who live better in jail. They got cable, you know, they got heat, and so they constantly go back because they're addicted to jail. But this is my thing. If you want to flash people, if you want to fight, and you want to be nude, let's just make you an MMA fighter with no training. And after somebody slaps you around in boxes and beats you up, maybe you'll think twice about assaulting people. So before you go to jail, I think you should have to deal with MMA fighters. And if that don't work, let's put you in a slammer where you got to fight every day. Absolutely. You know? Because at some point, even as you get older, you understand that even talking about the fight is longer than the actual fight. After a minute, 2 minutes, at certain ages, you breathing so hard and so heavy, you get what I'm saying? You're worn out after 2 minutes. So I don't know. You get what I'm saying to you? So you want to fight like that? Now, listen, put you in a slammer, and you can fight every day and get more addicted to the lunch. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Let's move on to what they're calling simple assault or battery. Bullying, when it amounts to assault, child-parent physical disagreements, shoving or pushing a person. Brother Al, what are we doing about these types of offenses?
Oh, man. It drives me crazy, especially with the hitting your parent. Oh, my gosh. You know, I guess I'll be the one in there watching the cable and eating the peanut butter and jelly and you put your hands on me, but we need to, you know, the kid got issues, you know, with the bullying a person. And you know, and I'm the one that I'm hard with punishment, you know, not as far as the jail. But what I would do, oh, you like bullying people? Okay, let me see. Let me find somebody that likes to fight and that's bigger than you and let them bully you and let you see how I feel. You know, let you see how I feel. And these parents got to man up. You know, stop letting your kids slap you and push you. Are you nuts? Are you insane? You know, they said some of the parents, they're so scared of ACS. You know, it's like, oh, I can't do that. I'll go to jail. Get off that go to jail stuff and don't let your child hit you. You know, they should have an X out for that. Okay, you can't beat your child, but if he hits you, you can take him down. But I would definitely get some, you know, because I'm past that, I'm telling you, I see it and it's insane to me. ACS got these parents so terrified. These parents don't even want to say nothing back to their kids. So their kids are running the household. So you look at it this way. If they can go in their house and got their mother and father, their parents, and they can run them and say what they want to do and do what they want to do, what do you think they're going to do out in the street to people they don't know? If I could do this to my parents, then shoot, I could do it to anybody. And that's where the problem is. So, and definitely, you want to bully, and you want to bully. Okay, I'm gonna get somebody to bully you. You like to fight, like Minister AJ said. Okay, we're gonna take you down here to this UFC thing. You want to fight? Here you go. Go in there and fight.
Okay. Minister AJ, we're talking simple, quote unquote, assault or battery, bullying when it amounts to assault, child-parent physical disagreements, and shoving or pushing a person. How do we handle this?
Well, hello?
Yes?
Yeah, they say simple, but as far as I'm concerned, those are not really simple. I take those offenses seriously because bullying, what it can turn into, and it's the same thing with a parent. You know what? You just have to call ACS on me. And let's take the word ACS and put it into our acronym. Because if you hit me or you hit somebody in the street, at the end of the day, it's going to be a crime scene. So we don't need ACS. Because before we get to ACS, I'm telling you, and like in my family, you hit one of us, you're not going to have to worry about ACS. Because we're going to get Ray Ray, we're going to get Earl, we're going to get Buddha, we're going to get, you know, ACS himself, a crime stabber. Let's break it down again, a crime stabber.
You know, he loves to stab people. Listen, you're not going to make it to ACS. You hit one of us. You know what I mean? And that's just how it was. You know, that's how my family, you need us to come down and you need us to move. You let me know. Let me know. You know, we listen, because it's a time. There's something that's just disrespectful. And to be disrespectful to your parents, the Bible even declares that your days will be shorter upon your land. So we got to take stuff like that serious. You want a bully? Like Brother Al said, listen, let's go get somebody and let's see what you made of. Because a lot of times when you watch shows like Scared Straight, they think they're at a level. But because these parents let them get away with it, that's what I'm saying. We couldn't go curse no teacher out. I was too scared of what was going to happen when I got home to curse a teacher out. My pops, nah, it's not going down like that. So, yo, hey, sometimes you gotta put them to the test. And a lot of them aren't made of what they think they are. You want to hit your parent, but then when they get around other bullies or and they're scared straight for them, now they're crying. Come on, stop it. Stop it.
Okay. Pastor KL, what are we talking with you, simple assault or battery?
Well, I mean, I think bullying has definitely gone to the next level. I mean, you even have cipher on bullying. I think that is definitely a problem, and something needs to be done seriously about that. I'm with the other fellas. You know, you want to be a bully? All right, well, now let's take you someplace where you're the smallest person in the bunch and see how well that'll work. Now, as far as hitting your parents, I had parents that said, I brought you in this world, and I'll take you out. So, I mean, and I live by that. I used to love that. You know, I was so glad to be old and have children so I could say the same thing they said. I wish a child would, you know, step on my toe by accident. You know what I mean? Because I'll have to knock you out. Listen, I'm going to call ACS and say you need to be here in about 20 minutes. You know, I'll call the ambulance. I'll call whoever you need me to call and say, listen, in about 20 minutes, I need all of y'all to be here. So, I think if you're crazy enough to hit your parents, you should be brave enough to get hit back. So, that's my take on it.
Okay. Ooh. Possession of marijuana. They say possessing small amounts of marijuana and smoking marijuana in a public place. What are we talking? What, I think Minister AJ?
Yeah, I think you should do a little jail time for that. Since you don't know what it is to smoke indoors, let's put you in jail. I mean, of course, without the weed, but I'm saying you need to do a little time for that, because secondhand smoke is the worst. And I've been around, you know, walking down the block or whatever, and they having a session or whatever. And, you know, there's people who have asthma. There's people who have bronchitis. And because you're not considerate, then you do a little jail time, you know, and then, you know, they put pictures in your cell of people who smoke, who have voice boxes, who are smoked out, you know, who have died. Put pictures all around the cell. Now, you can't get no weed in there, but all you got to do is look at the pictures for a little while and do a couple of days or weeks, and that's it, you know. Do a little jail time. You'll be all right, since you're not considered.
Okay. Pastor KL, what are we doing about that possession of, you know, marijuana and smoking it in public places? Shut up. Smoking it in public places.
Well, let me ask you, are we still talking about the juvenile, or are we just talking in general?
No, we're talking straight juvenile delinquents.
Okay. Well, then this is my issue. There had to be someone who's shown them this. You know what I mean? So again, I'm with the buddy system. You know, you can't smoke a cigarette, you know, until you get a certain age. You know, so how is it okay for you to smoke marijuana? And who introduced you to that? You know, are your parents in the house getting high? You know, is your brother getting high? You know, is your Uncle Ray Ray getting high? Whoever's introduced you into this, we need to all go. You know, let's have a family reunion in jail. And we should all go, get to know each other, you know, over whatever it takes. Listen, I haven't seen Ray Ray in a while, baby. Come on, go with me. You know, come on, go with me to my father's house, because we're going to all go to jail. We're going to be on the chain line. Yeah, yeah. Because it has to stop at the root. Somebody has, you don't come out of the womb saying, let me get high. You know what I mean? This is not what you want to be when you grow up. I want to be a smoker. Let me smoke. Give me a joint. I don't even know if they even say joint anymore. You know, give
blunt,
me something.
Baby, blunt.
Give me a blunt. This is what I want to do when I grow up. I want the fattest blunt I can get. Okay, well, then let's all go to jail and roll up toilet tissue. But that's what you're doing, roll up toilet tissue now.
Wow. Buddy system makes its appearance again. Oh, Brother Al, what are we doing regarding this marijuana possession and smoking in public places?
Well, I'm going to do it a little different. I'm going to take the child and say, you know, come with me. We need to talk. Get him in the room, sit down, break down all to him what marijuana, this is what marijuana does to you when you smoke it. This is blah, blah. This is what it's made of. But go down the whole list. I'm going to say, okay, so now that you like to smoke, I'm going to pull a table out and I'm going to have about 20 pounds of weed on it. All right, now start smoking until it's all gone. Smoke
oh
it off.
Oh, my God.
You're going to jail, too.
Keep smoking.
Oh my God.
You want to smoke? Okay, you want to blow rough? Okay, smoke it.
Now the basketball star is going to be in the newspaper for giving a child weed. Oh, man, there go your career. There go your career for 3 points. 3 points.
Hey, listen. I love the kids, so if I have to sacrifice for the kids, then I'll sacrifice. Smoke it all.
Now you're going to smoke. I'm going to help you smoke yourself to death because you have a medium position and you want to smoke
but
in a public place.
Right. But the good thing about it is I don't have to go out
the
and buy
thing?
It. It's being grown in the backyard, so I just go back there, pick it, have him pick it, pick it up, and go in there, sit down, and start rolling.
Man, get on the bench, man. I'm benching you. Get on the bench.
Now you're going to pull other people down in your sin and crime? Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying,
I
didn't call no names. I didn't call no names.
If you're an avid listener of the show, you wouldn't have to call me. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh gosh, I can't. All right, come on, gentlemen. Curfew violations. Sneaking out of the home after curfew, walking home after curfew, or violating a park curfew. Curfew violations. Come on, Pastor KL, what are we talking?
Okay.
What punishment
now,
fits the crime?
In my house, if you, first of all, you ain't coming in after curfew because at curfew the door locked and you can't get in. So, I mean, you know, you have, listen, back then in the project, you had a chain lock or you had a stick lock. So after a certain time, you ain't getting in the house. So if you want to hang out wherever, if you was hanging out with Pookie, Pookie better be having enough room for you to spend the night. And then we'll talk about it in the morning. But after 10 o'clock, you're not coming in here. Don't call me and say, hey, the door locked. I know the door locked. I locked the door. So I don't need no information. I don't need no survey. I understand that the door is locked. You know, so after 10 o'clock, you're not coming to my house. So figure it out.
Okay. Now that's how you handle it. Now what fits the crime? I mean, well, yes. What punishment fits the crime in the you know justice system?
In the justice system.
Yes.
Well, I mean, here we have a curfew for the teenagers, and if you get picked up, you're going to jail. Here, there's no fine.
Oh, okay.
You're going to jail.
Okay.
I mean, that's the justice system.
Okay.
In the daddy system,
okay.
You're staying outside.
Yeah, we got that. We got that. Okay, Brother Al, what punishment fits the curfew crime?
Okay. I'm like Pastor KL. The chain is on the door at a certain time. I told you to be here at 10. At 9:59, the chain is on the door. You told me.
No, that's not fair. That's not fair. 10 o'clock is the curfew. So if I walk in at 10 o'clock, I should be fine.
9:59, the chain is on the door.
That's
what you said. But I didn't tell you. You know, I'm going to look at the door first to see if I see you coming down the street or whatever. I don't see you. Chain on the door. You call me. Hey, Pop, the chain on the door. Yeah, I know. You know, you couldn't make curfew, so you probably, if you can stay wherever you need to stay. I tell you to be in here. That's what it is. And as far as I was listening to what Pastor Kell said, here in New York, if you're in the park after dark, they ask you to leave most of the time, or they'll write you a fine. So they don't really give you jail time for being in the park, you know, after dark here.
Okay. All righty. Minister AJ, curfew violations, what punishment fits the crime?
Yeah, definitely a fine, but eventually after a certain amount of fines, you should go to jail because it may save your life. You know, you can't make it home on time, then, you know, you need somewhere to stay, you know, and if Pookie and Ray Ray won't house you, then maybe the jail should house you. So it could save your life. You know, you need to learn discipline and to be home when you're supposed to be. Yeah, I'm definitely locking, and I'm not answering my phone. Once the curfew's up, I'm not answering my phone. So you ain't got to tell me about the lock being on because I'm not answering. You know, you know what time you're supposed to be in here. And guess what? Now you're disturbing my rest and my peace and my showtime. So that's what it is. And if you want to be grown, go get your own.
Okay, okay. All right, we got time for a couple more maybe. Truancy. Cutting class, having excessive tardies, and violating court order to attend school. What are we saying, Brother Al?
Hey, you just need to go to jail now. Now you're getting crazy. You're cutting class. You're even cutting the violation that they gave you when they caught you for it. So you know what? That means you're not listening and you don't care. So now.
Finally, Al, you're
agreeing. Now you're going too far, Tony. So now, that means you just don't care. They gave you, you know, for this, you got to be in after school, be after school and attend for you've been cutting. And then the court gave you this and said, okay, you have to do this, and you still not doing it. So you just don't care. So you know what? I'm going to get you some place where I know you're going to be at. So, therefore, you're going to jail now.
Okay, okay. Minister AJ, what punishment fits the truancy crime for the juvenile delinquent?
You want to cut school, I think you should have to go to regular school. You should have to go to Sunday school every day. So we're going to now make Sunday school every day. When you finish hearing about Noah and the ark and the animals, and I don't know about anybody else, but growing up for me as a and growing up in church all my life, sometimes Sunday school just wore me out. So, listen, Sunday school, listen, night school, regular school, and when you're all schooled out, I think you'll stop cutting school. You'll say either I'm going to get my GED or I'm going to do whatever. But, school is enough. And that's how it was for me. I just had to get out. Like, I had to get out of school. Get out of high school. Get out of this school. And I went to clown school, which was only 10 hours. You know, not a lot of schooling. But, you know, when I had to do night school and regular school and all that to graduate, I was all schooled out. I was done. I said, yeah, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to make it happen. And that was from cutting school. So sometimes you got to make them all schooled out. That's all. You know? Old school, you know what I mean? If you grow old in school, you'll figure it out. Start getting old in school, you'll figure it out. That's it. Sunday school and all of that. Nonstop. Let's go. In Jesus' name.
Okay. Okay. Pastor KL, is the jail fitting the crime here too?
Yes, jail. And I'm gonna tell you why jail. Because when you don't go to school and when you're a truant, they come after your parents. Your parents is supposed to be responsible for that when you don't show up to school. So now, here I am going to work every day to put a roof over your head, to put food on the table and clothes on your back, and you deciding that you grow and you go do what you want to do. And now they want to come find me because you won't go to school. Okay, well, since I don't know where you are during the day, if you go to jail, I'll know where you are. I can call you by your number. Is 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, is they there today? Okay, we all right then. You go to jail.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All righty. Okay, I got one more. Fraud. The juvenile delinquent that commits fraud. And we're talking writing bad checks, impersonating another person, and committing fraud via email. What are we talking here, Minister AJ? Is he over there impersonating somebody else?
No, sorry, I was checking my account. I was checking my account.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you should definitely do jail because what happens is if you get away with a little something, then you're going to continue going, most people, until you end up into something you can't get yourself out of. So let's just give you a test run, see if you're built for jail, see if you're built for this. And when you watch shows like American Gangster, that's how it is. They start off with little things and they venture into this, and then you have some that was dating a criminal, then they start branching off and they get big and they do their, now they become their own, you know, criminal, you know, and they just keep going until they get caught, until they do that hard time. So definitely jail time.
Okay.
You
want
to be Agent Jerome Jackson? Go to jail.
Okay. Pastor KL, fraud.
Yeah, that's jail. Because listen, fraud. Y'all laughing? I put anybody in jail. But listen, fraud is a sense of lying. You know, that's what it is. You're lying about something. You know, and my grandmama used to tell me that if you lie, you'll steal. If you steal, you'll kill. You know, so you need to go to jail. That's fraud. I'm scared. I don't know what you're going to do next. You know what I mean? Let somebody keep you for a little while to get this out of your system. You know, go lie to Big Bubba who want to toss your salad. Go lie to him. See what happens.
Oh, my gosh. All righty. Thank you, Pastor Gale, for giving us the progression process. Brother Al, you got the final word of the day. What are we talking here for fraud?
Mine is very simple. Very simple. Jail. Because like you said, if they get away with these things, then they're going to be looking to do bigger and worse crimes. I'm saying jail on that one. Straight jail.
Okay.
Don't pass go.
Okay.
Don't collect $200. Jail.
All righty. Okay. I want to try to sneak in one more. All right. Here's an interesting one. We're going to close with this one. Really quickly, gentlemen. Runaways. Running away from a non-custodial parent's house, going to another city, state when forbidden by a parent, or staying at a friend or family's house without parent's permission. All right, come on, Pastor KL. Let's do this quickly. What you got?
Jail. That's quick. Jail. If you run away from my house, I hope you enjoy where you are. Listen, I don't even care if you go to another family member's house. But that family member need to realize when they see his or her true colors, they're still staying there. They're not coming back to the house. We're not going to sit down now and have a kumbaya on how it can get better. You chose to take this child in because you enjoyed the sad story. Stay over there with that sad story. Now, I'll pay you child support just so that you can keep this child. Run away, run away, run away. Run away, run away.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Brother Al, what are we talking here? Runaways.
You're not coming back. That means you're not happy here with all the providing that I'm doing. I get to save some money. So you run away, stay where you at. That means you got somewhere to stay.
Wow. Come on, Minister AJ. What are we talking here for the runaways? What's the punishment that fits the crime?
Yeah,
we need to lock him up because something's wrong. What?
Sorry. I'm trying to keep up with all the criminal activity on both of my phones because when I start talking about things like this, the enemy likes to start working, so you got to keep rebuking them. So that's what I'm doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Get out of here.
What's the runaway crime and punishment, please?
Listen, keep running. Just keep running. You ran. Now keep running, and wherever you land, we're going to ship you your stuff, and you can stay there. Because I was always taught if you can go somewhere for a day, 2 days, 3 days, you got somewhere to stay. So keep running, and, you know, because it ain't no place like home. So if you end up in a system, you know, if you end up a foster child, then next time you won't go running because you'll understand that it ain't no place like home. You know what I mean? So that's the crime. You going to run into something, and when you ain't happy there, just keep running. That's all. Catch me if you can.
Wow. Gentlemen, you have really... What'd you say, Minister?
I said by the time you get yourself, I may be on the road run. Done sold the house, and now I'm going to catch me if you can.
Oh, gentlemen, it's been amazing. It's been an amazing conversation. You know, I like the deviation and where we ended up going. Thank you so much for shedding light on, you know, what this juvenile delinquency world, how they should handle it. All right, have a blessed weekend.
You too.
Thank you. All righty. We're talking juvenile delinquents today and how they should be handled. You know, they took the 7-year-old and they qualified him and as a juvenile delinquent for an accusation of rape. So now we have some other crimes that we just laid out, and we heard how the men, you know, felt on those. Well, we're going to 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen. You know, as a gentleman were talking, you know, I was looking at, you know, some of the stuff that we were talking about, and you know, there are some people who really just kind of brush stuff off, and one of the things that I want to start off by saying is, you know, I always say little mess becomes a big mess. You know, we don't wake up, we do not wake up big messes. These are things that have been simmering all along that maybe mom dismissed or grandma, you know, didn't think much of, or, you know, the penal system, you know, kind of brushed off. And this is where we are now. and, you know, some of the, you know, Pastor KL, every for every offense, you're going to jail. And, you know, for Brother Al, you know, he spoke, you know, some type of treatment. And Minister AJ, he stood in the class by himself, you know, with other types of punishment. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you're talking about some type of drug usage and alcohol usage, we're definitely talking about treatment. And it does not necessarily mean that, you know, going to a jail-type place would be the wrong thing. But while you're there, you need treatment. You can't dismiss the fact that there is a problem. And that's one of the problems with the penal system now, is because they're just recycling the criminal. You know, if the criminal goes in there for committing a crime that starts with the fact that they have an addiction, and you never address the addiction, you never address why, you know, they are addicted. Because remember now, you can address the addiction, but if you don't get to the root problem, then it ain't going to matter, because the addiction will continue. So, you know, if you don't take the time to do any counseling or therapy while they are in a jail, these children are in a jail-type facility, then you're going to just recycle this behavior and this issue. And, you know, we have to learn to work smarter, not harder. And the smart thing to do is, you know, a lot of times when you're talking about disorderly conduct and simple, quote-unquote, assault or battery or curfew violations or, you know, truancy, you know, a lot of times you need to be put in a class of people like you. You know, not all the time, you know, do you sit amongst the rest of the people and now you are going to behave differently. And most times, these misbehaved individuals will contaminate and make every environment that they in very toxic. So now everybody suffers because you have issues. So, you know, my thought, my feeling is, listen, the Bible tells me that bad morals corrupt. So am I going to put someone with bad morals into a room with everybody else? So that makes me say, put them together. Put truants together. Put the smokers together. Put them all together. And now address what they're doing. You know, because when a child is misbehaving, a lot of times it's coming from their environment. And it does not, I'm not saying, because I have a real thing about people saying, well, you know, well, that's what goes on in the home, because that's not always true. But something, a lot of times, something is going on in that environment. And it doesn't necessarily mean that something is wrong in that environment. So in other words, let's say for argument's sake, a parent, you know, the two parents decide that they're going to separate. And a lot of children do not take this well at all. And now got issues. Now they're acting out. And so, you know, now we have to help them. That's the point I'm trying to make. That regardless of what their delinquency is, whatever they're doing, it needs some addressing. And a lot of times what has happened is when they change the environment from you being with everybody else, and now they change how they address your needs. So in other words, do you put them in a facility with children their age, and now you give them music lessons, and now you give them, teach them different trades, and, you know, does that now help them to exert this energy into something that is going to be productive. One of the gentlemen talked about, you know, make them do such and such a thing. Well, guess what? That can potentially take them onto a road of a trade, of thinking of how you handle things differently. And a lot of times people who were juvenile delinquents will tell you that, you know what, the change of an environment, it took one person to invest in me, to care about me a little differently in order for me to now look at my life differently and now behave differently. And now I realize that I was being destructive. So separating them, you know, when someone proves to be someone who does not get along with everyone else, or you're going to be, you know, a delinquent, that's a thought and a first step. But how are we going to handle them once we separate them? Do we give them treatment for their addiction, or do we give them different avenues of exerting this energy and thought process and help them, you know, help understand what's going on maybe in the household that, you know, they're warring against? And it's something that we have to consider. And, you know, if this were done with the adults, you know, a lot of these criminals didn't wake up and they were 30, 40, 50-year-old criminals. No. They were doing criminalistic things from early in life, and this stuff has just graduated. And like Minister AJ said, they like, you know, they like the lunch. You know, we were laughing in here last night because we, you know, we were talking about some ailments that people have. And we've been told literally from people who have gone to jail that they go to jail to get glasses and dental work, and, you know, it doesn't matter to them. You know, that environment and being told, like Pastor K.L. said, being told what to do every moment of the day. Some of them commit crimes so they could go inside during the wintertime. You know, there's something behind all of this comfortability to be there. So that's something that needs to be addressed. So if we start early, when these children begin this behavior, then guess what? We won't have a lot of the problems we do. And keep them in prayer. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my men of warfare for helping me hold it down today. Oh, they did an excellent job shifting gear and giving us our new conversation for today. I want to thank you for listening. And I could not do it without you. Remember, seek Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Have a wonderful and blessed weekend, and I look forward, God spares life, to shaking the Monday morning blues with you on Monday. I love you.